delighted to bring a wonderful and marvelous guest to you by the name of Gloria Wendorf. Gloria, say hello to our audience.
Well, hello. I'm very happy to be here with Carolyn and have a chance to talk to you.
Gloria, I got something that I wanted to tell you first. When I do a show, I always pray over it for God's light and love and truth to come in. And many times I get a message from Spirit of some sort. Mother Mary will give me some news to give the world, or Archangel Michael will ask me to discuss something. And so this week it was very quiet. Nobody's telling me anything. And I'm thinking, gee, did I miss something? So I called in my guides to find out if there was a message, and what they said was no. They wanted the whole hour to be given to your work, that this work that you're bringing in was something that was very important. So I wanted you to know that.
Wow. That's,
you know,
beautiful.
Sometimes we all need a little bit of encouragement.
Yes.
Now, dear, I don't know if, can you hear me? I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. Are you talking into the phone?
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I hear you very well.
Great. Now, before we start, Gloria, just tell me a little bit about you, who you are. I don't know if you have children, if you're a grandparent. Just tell me a little bit about who Gloria is.
Okay, I'm an older woman. I came to the spiritual life late in life. I was 42 before it even occurred to me that I was a spiritual being. I had no connection with God that I was aware of. I had no particular interest in God that I was aware of. Though looking back, I realized that my love of literature included a love of what was beyond the ordinary life. I am a mother. I'm divorced. I have one grown daughter.
So tell me how this big, beautiful, wonderful project of Heaven Letters started. And I want to tell the audience that the name of your book number one is called Heaven Letters, Love Letters from God. Beautiful title.
Oh, good.
So how did this whole thing start? How did you start getting love letters from God? Tell us.
Okay, well, I mentioned how I was not interested in God, and then I became interested in God, and there came the point, this was many years later, where I was determined to know God. I would pound my pillow. I want to know God, and I want to know that I know God. And I cannot really give you a perfect moment when this happened. I can mention things that led up to it. One was a friend of mine who had started contacting God. And she had been in a coma, however, before this happened. And so that was an insight. And then I knew someone else who was contacting God or hearing from God. I was reading A Course in Miracles. Now, for years, I had not been able to read it. I would try and wasn't able to. And then one day, I was able to. And I read it like a romance novel. I was a page turner for me. I just read it through faster than anybody ever has, I'm sure. And then I went back and read it three more times. Now, after Heaven Letters and God writing started coming to me, I went back to A Course in Miracles. I was going to give a workshop, and I just took a random couple of pages. And I found all these instances that said something about, you know, God is ready to talk to us now. All we have to do is hear. You know, all of that sort of thing, which I consciously had missed, you know, when I had first read it. A friend of mine also loaned me a little book called, in French, Louis et moi, he and I. And it was written, a little book, and it was written by, I believe, a nun. And basically what it was, she would put the date, she would say something like, I'm not worthy of you. And then the answer, very short, would be more or less, yes, you are worthy. And so I started just trying it, my hand in it, and not sure that what I was getting was real, though I believe that's typical.
Yes.
And you too?
I think that's a common thread. We have something marvelous happen in our lives, and we think when that happens, oh, my golly, I can't be big enough to be receiving this.
Yes.
And so in the very beginning, it is sort of this wonder at what you were doing. And then as time goes on, it feeds back to you until you realize this is real.
Well, but there came the point, Carolyn, where I just didn't ask the question anymore. The words that came were so wonderful and so touching and so vital to me that I didn't ask the question. You could keep on asking that question. Everyone in a workshop asks that question. How do
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I would, now I don't ask the question, but when I still was, I would know because there would be such a surprise. You know, it could not have come from me. It could not have been my wishful thinking. I didn't have that kind of wisdom. I personally still don't. It had to come from somewhere. And I addressed my questions to God, and I took the comments as from God. Now, how do I know they're from God? Now, looking at it from a different angle to tell other people, God himself we cannot define, and so there's no way for me to prove this. Now, St. Catherine of Siena, who did something like what we do, was asked, how did she know? And she said, because God tells me so. and then further, it would be because I feel love in my heart, you know, charity, wanting to be better, you know, all those things told her that it was God.
Well, something that I would like to do, if this is fine with you, Gloria, there's a passage from your book. It's on page 18. Don't know if you have it there.
I have it here somewhere, and, Carolyn, under
huh?
a pile of papers. Wait a minute. Here it is.
Anyway, it's the title of the chapter is One Day You Will Come to Me in Your Own Way and Your Own Time.
Yes.
And I wanted to read a little bit from that because I was very touched by it, and I think it sets the tone and the vibration and the feeling for what you are bringing through. And so for those who might be saying, oh, this might not be coming from God, what I would like to do is to just read two paragraphs from this, and then you be your own, you know, the person who hears this, let them determine where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think this is just beautiful. Although time is not, there is a moment that comes when the sun peaks its head up over the horizon. The sun lifts up its shoulders at its inception over the crest of the earth. It is a steady motion. The sun beginning its day on your side of the earth. Of course, it is the earth that is rolling to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that the earth is the puppy that rolls over to be petted by the sun. The rolling over is surrender. The earth surrenders to the sun. And the sun becomes earth, and the sunlight on the earth, and the sun's receptivity of the sun are integral, one to the other. How innocent is the earth? How willing, how open, how ready, how unattached, but all set. And that is how our love shines. I shine totally, day or night, like the earth. You roll over. You accept my light. You would say the beginning of my light, but my light has no starting place, for it is eternal. So therefore, it is you who begins it. You begin it by opening your eyes and letting some light in. It is so simple, our arrangement, our engagement in the exchange of our love. And so, Gloria.
Yes.
What in the world did you feel when you were writing these magnificent words down on paper?
Well, you know, sometimes I would feel it very, very much. Sometimes the messages would just flow so fast. You know, it was pure fulfillment. But sometimes it would be a little start and stop. And, you know, sometimes I'm certainly conscious. I'm not in any trance. I'm aware of what I'm writing, but I have no sense of it. I didn't know it would come sentence by sentence. I don't know where it's going to go. And sometimes, I must confess, after a heaven letter is written, I don't know how good it is. And it will be, you know, later I read it and I see how wonderful it is. I'm out of it. I have to be out of the picture when this is happening.
Sort of like detached.
Has to be. God, incidentally, has called me his typewriter.
I laugh because I get similar sentences myself. I'm called the telephone. The telephone to Earth. So you're the typewriter. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've taken down an awful lot of heaven letters, love letters from God. I just love it. I just love that title. You've taken down an awful lot of them. Do you have one that is made perhaps one of your favorites?
Well, I have many, many, many favorites.
If you were to choose one.
Oh, God. Well, I can choose one, but
maybe
I would want
one little sentence or paragraph or something that particularly touches you.
Well, here's one. Many, many, many. But here's one. And this was written in May, and it's called One Exultant Moment. God said, I'll read the whole thing if I may.
Okay.
You know, beloveds, you would like to be in a state of perpetual excitement. Yet you cannot ride on the roller coaster all the time. Blessings are heaped upon you at every moment, and yet you want an avalanche of blessings to overtake you all at once. You could not sustain an avalanche, beloved, yet I am getting you ready for great blessings. The day will come when your happiness is so supreme that nothing will alter it. No matter if the world adores you, carry you proudly through the streets, you will not be raised higher. Equally, if you should lose favor in the world and be thrown to the ground, your spirits will not dampen. What difference can there be for you when you are well aware of the resident God within you? You are being trained for this, beloved. There will be no more highs and lows. Excuse me. There will simply be an even road of happiness. Even if you walked barefoot on gravel, even if you were picked up and thrown off a cliff, you wouldn't falter. Your vision and state of being would stay true to your happiness. If you were thrown over the horizon, across the moon, hung on stars, what difference would there be for you? If you were in the dark, you would still know light. if you were in a dungeon, you would still know heaven. All this because you would know implicitly the God within. If you were in a boat that I steered, would you have concern over where we were going? If you were born on my shoulders, would you worry about slipping off? If we held hands, would you question whether it was my hand or not? For a minute you are on earth. You think it is a lifetime, but it is a minute, beloved. If you knew it were only for the briefest moment, what would bother you? What is there you would have too much of or not enough? For this one brief moment on earth, what is there you would not enjoy? What sunrise or sunset would you be cavalier about? If you caught a bus or missed it, what would you care? In this brief moment, everything would matter more, and everything would matter not at all. The question is not to be or not to be. You have always been, and you will always be. The question is, what will you do with this minute on earth? What will you uphold, and what will you put down? When you have 1 minute on earth, what opportunity for love would you save for later? What would you hesitate about? Would you wait to smile? Would laughter not fall as unexpectedly as tears do? In this one moment of existence in a human body on earth, what is there you would not be glad for and even grateful for? Your temper would no longer exist. Where would it have gone? What could make you angry in this passing moment when you know this is the only time you have on earth? If it rained, you would exult in it. If there were drought and you were thirsty, you would be receptive to the one moment of thirst, for you would be experiencing life. There would be many things you would not do. Is it safe to say that you would not spend your 1 minute reading the newspaper or watching TV? Is it safe to say that you would not tut-tut about anything? Is it not safe to say that you would bless this moment and say in one exultant moment, thank you, God?
Oh, that is lovely, Gloria. Tell me, I know you write this every day, I believe, don't you?
Yes, I do, every morning.
Now, what was it about that particular moment, that particular message from God that you were so in love with and turned your heart? What was that?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Well, I think what I thought when I was listening to you read that is what came through to me was how precious life was.
Yes.
And I felt that very strongly, that number one, life is so precious, and number two, we get caught up so often in things that we think really are important and they're not. The thing that really is important is our love for God and God's love for us. I mean, that is what came through to me.
I agree with you, and I would add love for others, you know, of course.
Yes.
As well. But at the time I sit down, I don't have a thought in my head. And that may be the secret.
Yes, I think so. I think perhaps the word that you're looking for is the word surrender. I think that word surrender is very important, whether you're surrendering to God or you're surrendering to a life situation. It's a very important word. But as this is a type of book that one does not have to, in my opinion, one does not have to pick up and read from cover to cover. You can just open it up on any page, and there will be a sentence that will call out to you. Like, I just picked it up, and And here's a sentence here, one sentence. It is a simple thing to answer my call for you. It is I who has a calling. You have an answering. All you can do is join in my calling. I call you. Answer me. I mean, you could just take that one sentence that God is calling you, and all God wants is for you to answer. And so this is the kind of a book that if you, it's one of the things that, well, outside of the beauty of the words, it's one of the things that I like about your book. Even someone who is not into reading can pick this up, and like that one message that you read, they can read through one of God's letters. Or if they're in a hurry and just going to work, they could pick it up and like I looked down and read this one sentence. There is a one sentence that you could pull out of a book and just meditate or just think about that sentence for that day. It makes you feel so loved. I really do think that this truly indeed is a love letter. That's what I like so much about this, the whole book. It is such a novel idea for us to think that God is calling us. He wants us to answer him, and he not only wants us to answer him, but he wants to send us a love letter. That whole concept to me is just so beautiful. Is there another thought, Gloria, that you feel particularly close to?
Yes, there are, as I said, many. But before I do that, I'd like to comment a little bit on what you just said.
Okay.
In a recent reading from you that was reprinted in Lady Isis' newsletter.
Yes.
There was a statement from Archangel Michael. Now, let me find it. I may not have the exact words.
You have such a soft, gentle voice for you.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
Speak up a little. That's it.
What it said at the top of the message from Archangel Michael that you received, Carolyn, was it's not the message. It's the click it gives in your brain.
Yes.
And I would like to just translate that a little bit.
Okay.
With heaven letters, it's not the message. It's the click in your heart.
Uh-huh.
You know, something touches in. We all know. We all know it's better to love. We all know these things. But to feel them and to feel we're receiving God's love. I don't know always whether it's in the rhythm of the words themselves, how they're put together, what makes it, but God is at work.
God indeed is at work, and you didn't have that message that you were talking about from Archangel Michael. And that was a question that Isis had sent over, because there's a lot of people now noticing numbers on clocks.
That's right.
And so Isis asked me about that. What's up with all these numbers that we're seeing? And what the answer was basically is that this was a group consciousness thing, and that God is trying to wake us up for us to be aware that something is happening. That click in your heart. Oh, what is this? And
yes.
And yes, I think these are very important times. I think God is in so many ways trying to get our attention, trying to get us to not only listen but to respond. There is one other sentence. This is just one sentence. Again, I'm going to stick on one sentence because I think they're easier to think about.
Yes.
Regret and despair are the same. Regret looks back and despair looks ahead.
Wow
is right. And I guess that I picked up on that is because there are people that ask me to do readings for them.
Yeah.
And I had an individual who asked about being very much discouraged, being depressed. And this was somewhat, I think this was a very interesting statement, because there are people who are in this mode of regret and despair. And so I'll read it one more time because I think it is so important. Regret and despair are the same. Regret looks back and despair looks ahead. And it's one of the things that we need to, in my opinion, it's one of the things that we need to overcome today. We need to get rid of anything that is not positive, that moves us forward. And so was there perhaps another sentence or reading that you wanted to share with those that are listening?
Well, there is one I would like to share, a heaven letter that I would like to share. And this one is on death. And this did seem to come from my sadness at learning that a subscriber to Heaven Letters had died.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this woman. I had never met her. I had talked to her on the phone because she was secretary to someone I used to talk to. And then she died, you know, suddenly, and I was so sad. I had no idea I would feel so sad. And here's what God said. Beloved, the moment of what you call death is always peaceful. There is no struggle. There is surrender to what has always been, and that is eternity. Life, as experienced in the world, has most often been struggle against the truth of life. You think earth life is supposed to last forever, even though you give lip service that it is not. But the truth is that life itself is forever. There is only being. There is no death. There is no afterlife, really, because life continues and never ends. Body falls away. Spirit stays with me and it stays with you. In death, it is only the physical that has changed, but how attached you are to the physical. Sooner or later, you will loose the hold your fingers have on it. The physical obviously has no life of its own. You consider the body the moving force, but you also know that cannot be. The spirit does not follow the body. The body is not a free agent. It accompanies you. You do not accompany it. The body, here's one of those lines that you would like, Carolyn. The body is a leash that follows you around. It ties you to earth, and yet you are untethered. You feel great loss in your heart at the body death of a loved one, near or far. In the shadow of death, you have a clue as to the connectedness of all souls. Loss is a trick of the mind, beloveds. Your friend has stepped over another threshold. This threshold is vaster than any you are aware of on earth. But friendship has not ended. Your friend is with you now. She is more with you now because no longer does she have the distraction of physical life. No longer is she pulled in any direction but in the direction of closeness to love. Closer to love, she brings all within her soul's breath, closer to love. Your friend's passage through the halls of earthly death is symbolic. There is no passage. Nothing has changed. There is nowhere to go and nowhere to leave. The only difference is in your thought. You were captivated by the existence of a physical being and all the senses. The senses are physical. You miss the physical sight and sound. You miss the imagined space the body filled. You miss the earthly responses. All the while, the connection is intact, and your sense of oneness now has the opportunity to become more refined. A party, we're almost there now. A party was held on earth. And now one of the guests deigns to go home, and you are still at the party. Part of you would like to go home as well, yet you grieve that your friend left the party. The because your friend left the party doesn't mean she is gone. She is merely out of your sight right now. She stays in your thoughts, but your thoughts are misinformed. Your thoughts tell you to be sad when you could be joyous that your friend has taken a cab home, and one that you will also take by and by. You want to join your friend at the same time as you are afraid to leave the party. Friendship is in the heart, not the mind. Do not let your mind tell you that a life is over and a friendship gone. The very fact that your heart yearns for your friend tells you that she is still here. This spirit that you cannot see but yet feel in your heart, that is the truth of your friend. It was ever so. The physical was just a lot of scenery, makeup. But underneath the makeup, behind the scenes, is where life takes place. Whether the curtain is up or the curtain is down, what has changed? Merely a curtain, an illusory curtain. The curtain could be see-through net or thick velvet. It's still illusion. There is no separation. There is no apartness. There is no loss. Why must your heart ache so? Let heartache go. You have your friend. She has gone nowhere. She is here with you now.
Well, Gloria, just to tell the audience, we were conversing with one another about God's insight as to souls passing from this dimension into the next, because you were aware that my son had died.
Yes.
And you see, one of the things that I learned from my son dying, passing over, is that we have had communication with one another. And so I know personally there is no such thing as an individual being destroyed. Whether we're in one dimension or another, we exist.
Yes.
And so that was the beginning of my spiritual path, that it was something that I knew, that this was sort of like a dress rehearsal, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And that is why I wanted some thoughts that God had about passing over. And you had sent me some pages about that. And if I might just read one thing that struck me about that. God is talking about relationships, how they continue after death.
Uh-huh.
And he says, the death of a loved one is not the end of the matter. Whatever is unresolved does not stay hanging in midair. Souls meet again and again. You do not need bodies to reconcile differences. And even in another's death or worldly distance, you have held on to the crush of disappointment rather than the exchange of love.
Mm.
And I thought that was very touching, because my son and I have been able to exchange our love for one another. And I know that there really isn't such a difference of time between two people that love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, God is saying this.
Yes.
And so it is beautiful. And I wanted these messages to go out to people who maybe have lost children. We have people who are losing loved ones in war.
Oh.
We have people who are losing loved ones in violence. And I want them to know that this is not an end. There's another statement in here that you sent me that God is talking about death. And he said, God is not a stranger who comes to you. Death is not an enemy. Death is not a farewell. It is an entry. Life is connected to what you call death. One supports the other. Or you can say that life and death are merely changes in costume, or that in death you wear none, for you leave all the costumes behind. In death or in life, you are light. Birth is an initiation into life, and death of the body is an initiation into life as well. And so you know, I think this theme is a beautiful theme to think on, whether you have someone in your family that you loved and have lost, or if you are concerned about your own journey going from one dimension into another.
Yes. Now, I had a lady who wrote and asked a personal question through Heaven Letters, and she, her husband had died several years before. They apparently were very, very devoted, and she was adamant that she would not love again. She had even made a website dedicated to her husband who had passed over. And at the time, she was not happy with the answer that God gave her, which was basically that it was her own love that she saw that her husband stirred. It was the love within her that was stirred. And that her love for her husband didn't have to go to another husband, but that her love was to continue to flow wherever it did. She wanted to hear, I believe, that, you know, theirs was a special love, which all love is, you know, from the human side. But later she and I spoke personally, and she wanted to know whether she would ever view her husband again physically. And what I did was tell her of an experience I had. My daughter was in surgery, and it was very serious. And while I was in the room called day of surgery, this bright golden light came into the room and came up to me, and I knew it was my daughter.
Oh, my.
And it was, I mean, I was so refreshed, and I was, you know, so happy. Now, at that moment, had my daughter not lived, it wouldn't have mattered at that moment. At that moment, it was so glorious, and she did live, you know, she did live. Had she not, I'm sure I would have been like any other mother who loses a child. And, you know, an experience, I certainly remember that one, and it brings me great joy. It's not an experience that I currently have. If I saw everybody in that golden light, and all those who have left Earth in that golden light, we wouldn't mourn.
Well, because we love them, and we would want to know that they're in a good place. Two things, Gloria. I would like to mention, number one, that if there are any mothers out there who are grieving over lost children, I do have a website. It's at www.yourchildlives.com. And it is a story of my son passing. And Mother Mary is there. She says her presence is there to give messages to any mothers who need consolation at this time. So you do have that opportunity, and that's called Your Child Lives. Now, before we go on any further, Gloria, something that I would like, if you would be kind enough to give our audience, number one, information about your websites and your projects with your organization of do I understand this correctly? You're teaching other people how to write love letters?
Yes. Yes. I give God writing workshops. And I'm giving one in California, in Santa Barbara, in July.
Mm-hmm.
And one in September in Great Falls, Montana. And I do them more locally as well, which is Fairfield, Iowa, where I live. But God writing workshops are a subject very dear to my heart. And I do feel that is one of my missions, Carolyn, because if I can do it, truly anyone can do it. And it's not that we do it. We can receive it. God says that all we need is the desire,
yes,
the willingness, and you mentioned surrender. In the workshops, I talk about it more as letting go of the left brain.
Yes.
Getting rid of that critic.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of the idea that what we write has to be stupendous. You know, for quite a while, I was getting, God would include in the heaven letters, he'd say, I am here. I am here. And, you know, to my ignorant ears, that was a little Dick and Jane. You know, I am here. I am here. And a friend of mine.
Just for your edification, Gloria, he uses the same words with me, dear.
Well, later I became to appreciate them more. You know, And a friend of mine who's well-versed in Hebrew said that the Bible is filled with I am here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hebrew word is hineni. That means I am here. But that is so profound.
Indeed it is. Gloria, no. we're not far from the ending. Can you believe almost an hour has passed?
No.
I want you to give out your website.
Okay. www.heavenletters.org.
Now, there is something else I want people to know, that they can come to your website and sign up and be put on your mailing list for love letters, correct?
Absolutely. We have subscribers from all over the world. Incidentally, that book is being translated into Greek, and it will be out within 6 months.
Isn't that exciting?
In Greek, yes. And but we have subscribers from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We have subscribers from countries I never heard of.
Now, if somebody comes to your website and they sign up for to receive these love letters, what happens then? Do they get a little message every day, or
yes.
What?
Yes, they get approximately. Well, they get the day's heaven letter. So it may have been written, you know, a week or so before,
right.
You know. And it takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes to read. They're not the one-liners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is an option where they can get twice a week if they want that, if they like that better.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it translated, incidentally.
What'd you say?
And in case you have international listeners, I don't know. If you do with this, but we have Heaven Letters translated into Turkish, German, Dutch, Norwegian, Spanish, and soon Greek.
Well, that's amazing. Now, does this mean your whole book has been translated into these languages, or does this mean that people are translating your daily letters?
Well, daily letters, but not every day.
Mm-hmm.
But people can subscribe. People who are more comfortable in their native language can receive them. Not every day, but whenever they are translated. And this is all done by volunteers.
I know. Isn't the volunteer community wonderful? What would we be without it?
It's incredible. It's incredible.
It is. I happen to turn a page as you were talking, and I have highlighted some places that I thought the messages were really great. I kind of like these one-liners myself. It's not that I don't want to read the whole thing. To me, when you see a one-liner that has a great truth in it, it's something you could really walk away with for the day.
It's like a sutra.
Yes.
Yes.
And God says, call me to you. And you call great energy to you. You call clarity. You call trust. You call faith. And then there's another sentence next to that. Call me to you as a partner, and be you a willing partner to me as partners, we are one corporate body. My light becomes knowingly yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this book is just filled with all kinds of statements like this. Something else that I did want to mention, Gloria, I just love the idea of you putting God's heaven letters on a disc, on a CD, where people can, you know, sit in a chair and prop their feet up and close their eyes and just listen to you read the love letters. I thought was a wonderful idea. Where did you get that idea?
Of putting heaven letters on a CD?
Yes.
Well, actually, a friend of mine who had a sound studio in Oregon paid my way out to come record.
Isn't that marvelous? Make people believe in what you're doing.
And, you know, those who love it, love it. And we've had subscribers from the beginning, which I'm not sure now if that's 5, 6, 7 years. Heaven Letters started before that, but before they became daily emails.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning. Bernie Siegel.
Yeah, I was going to mention him. He's done a foreword in the book. Tell me about Dr. Siegel.
Oh, well, he's a straight shooter. If he says something, you can believe it. He's wonderful. When he went to record, he funded the project.
The Heaven Letters project?
No, well, the CD.
Oh, the CD.
Now, it didn't come out. My friends took care of their area of it, but the duplication, you know, we had it professionally duplicated in a batch of 1,000, you know, and he took care of that. And he went to the trouble of finding a studio near where he lived and go record it.
Oh, isn't that marvelous? I didn't know that part of it. I just read his introduction, and it certainly was beautiful. How did he become involved in the project?
Well, you know, 25 years ago or whatever, I read Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
Right.
He was an early pioneer, as
yes.
I'm sure everybody knows, in the field of body, mind, spirit, you know,
yes.
medicine. And I read the book, and I loved it. And that was the end of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came across Peace, Love, and Healing, another book of his, at a used bookstore. And I read it, and within the book, and loved it, he kept talking about the inner voice, the inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote to him. I told him a little bit of what I was doing, and did we mean the same thing? Now, Bernie is very sweet, and he's also tough. And he asked me a lot of tough questions. And I must have answered right, because he's been subscribing ever since. And he's been he's become a true dear, a friend, only over email. I've never spoken to him or met him. But he's been a bright light in my life. And I'll tell you something else about him, if I may.
Sure.
Early on, I asked him, you know, may I quote what you say, you know? And, you know, many are not happy to be quoted. You know, they may say wonderful things, but they want it private. Bernie said, if I said it, you use it.
I like that kind of a straight shooter.
Yes.
You know, talking about these little synchronicities among people, I got to tell you this.
What?
School that I went to was called St. Catherine's of Siena.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, we're coming down to the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear this story, Carolyn.
Well, We are going to close for the day. And, Gloria, thank you so much for being with us. It was just a delight having you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Carolyn.
Yes, and I know that we'll be in touch.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You take care.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.